E2, number 11A.
Well, that was round about 1946, and in those years, Mr. Dawley was going. Well, that was round about 1946, and in those years, Mr. Dawley was going over those days of creation every day and every day, just weighing the value of it, the beauty of it, the order of it, the law of it. And as it is, when you go over something which you know, but always with a new love for it, with a new expectation for it, that very fact of pondering what you know has within itself the seed of bringing forth something new. So this is the law that the days of creation would show, that actually finding out something new is not putting away the old. Finding out something new is to make use of that what we know and culturing that and pondering that, and that has the seed within itself for something new. And suddenly began to realize, as with Matrix we have been taking, he began to realize that within the 7 days of creation, there are not only the synonymous terms at work in their subtones, but that interwoven into that was actually another law, namely the law of the Word in its subtones as the Word and Christ and Christianity and science. He could see if we put that down again as a one column matrix like this, that he could see that the 7 days of creation were just one thing, you see, namely the Word, because it's the creative presentation. So he knew it was the Word. But he could see that within those 7 days of creation, there is a movement at work, an operative sense at work. And studying the text over again from that angle, from the angle of looking what is the operative calculus within it, he began to realize that it goes actually through four, and you just draw those four, that it goes through four phases, which he could see first as the Word. So the matrix is again about the days of creation, but then taken from the operative sense, not from the synonym sense. You see what he did? He was now rereading the whole thing, but listening on another key, so to say, with another keynote of the seven. And he could see what? He could see that from mind, that's an M, from mind as mind, up to soul and as spirit, that within that range, he could see that there the Word just presents itself as the primal creativity. Perhaps we could put it that way. Can you say primal creativity? Because it's my term. Primal creativity. Because what is shown there? There, the record of creation gives you, so to say, the elements. There you get the elements with which creation works. Namely, it gives light, and then it gives the firmament, and then it gives the water, and it gives the dry land. The elements are given there. And with those elements, everything is being created in those 7 days. The 7 days never use any more another element, another material, other building stones than these. So they are all presented within the range of mind as mind, let there be light, then spirit, let there be a firmament, then let the firmament divide the waters and the waters, then afterwards let the dry land appear, let the waters be gathered together and let the dry land appear, and you have that. And then afterwards everything is being done with those, with the lights and the stars and shining, with the waters in the fifth day, the living creatures in the water, in the sixth day with the earth, let the earth bring forth, and so on. You see? Yeah. So nothing else is afterwards used as primal creative elements. And it's all stated from God. God made it. But then the tone changes. Just there where I said it in soul as soul, in the third day, where it was said, let the earth bring forth. Huh? Suddenly, let the earth bring forth. No more God made. Let the earth bring forth. And then afterwards, yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. You get that the seed is now in the idea. It's no more God that creates. So at that very point of soul as soul, you get the break. Namely, we get there the Christ, so to say, the seed in itself. See? Again we see this is the Christ, that Christ selfhood that says, I bring forth myself. I always bring forth myself in an equal way. So we have there the seed within itself, which says to bring forth from within, let the earth bring forth. In principle it says, let the light shine. It's no more God's light, but the lights of the stars and of the moon and so on shines. In life, let the water bring forth. So this tone goes right through to life as spirit and always brings out that seed within itself, that reproduction sense that takes place. Then at that point of life and soul up to truth as principle, the tone changes to Christianity, and from that point on one doesn't anymore have just the feeling that the idea reproduces itself. From that point on, you get much more a feeling of infinite multiplication and dominion, and a sense of, let's say, multiplication, a sense of dominion. See, these have a Christianity touch. Do you know Christianity and get it? You see that in Christianity you always have that infinite reflection, the infinite multiplication, the fullness of it comes out, and the whole story of creation then is full of that. And then in truth as life, until of love and love at the end of it, we have a sense of science, where you have no more a creative sense. The creative sense of bringing forth something stops with truth as principle, where it says that let us make man in our image and let them have dominion. And with that, every creative act has come to a stop there. And all what is said afterwards from truth as life onward, right to the end of the seventh day, is no more creation. It's just showing the wholeness. See, the moment you have science, you have no more creation. Huh? You have wholeness. So you could see it's wholeness, wholeness, completion, infinitude. Let's just take these, just to get the sense of it. So here again, can you feel the rhythm of it? The rhythm of it that says, first we have to have the creative elements, the primal creativity and the primal creative elements. Then we can see, because these elements have a Christ within themselves, they reproduce themselves. They have the seed within itself. We don't have to reproduce them. And in the measure we let them reproduce themselves, we get a touch that through that we have an infinite multiplication and therefore a command of the situation. We will never be at loss. We'll never have a kind of lack. We'll have always dominion. We'll always have everything that there is. And so that finally you get the touch of science, where you feel actually in those days of creation you come to the point where it turns over to no more creating, where everything is established, and you come to fulfillment or to wholeness. This is a very simple one column matrix, but when one sees it, naturally, again, it gives a lot of information. The information that is given here is that humanly, we always like to start with the last one, with where does science? We like to demonstrate wholeness and completion. And we never think that this is at the end of a great order. That if we want to have wholeness, we just can't sit down and say, man is whole, and because he is whole, he is whole, and I know that he is whole, and I know that he knows it. This is starting at the end, because first you must start with the word and say, now, what are the creative primal elements? Then to see that those creative elements are not something which we have to make work. They have the seed within themselves. And so we have to let them develop within themselves. We have to let the idea grow out of its own loins. That's the seed within itself. And not to interfere into it. And the more we can see that, we see, well, that reproduction goes on not just once, but that goes on infinitely, because it has an infinite source. Therefore, there is really fullness, there is really multiplication, there is really the image and likeness, the full picture of the whole, and so finally, of the whole, as you finally touch the whole and say, well, then actually from time everlasting, the whole must have been there. So you arrive at the end, which then again is the beginning. But the beginning no more of the 7 days of creation, it's then the beginning of the numerals of infinity. So you start then on a higher tone of matrix, namely of the matrix of infinity. There, the days of creation, Mrs. Eddy says, becomes numerals of infinity, and they accept the divine infinite calculus. Yes. How much time do we have left? Oh, that's fine. That's just right. So that gives me a chance. Okay, that's also right. That gives me a chance to depict something again, what you have been asking before, namely, what is a diagonal matrix? And perhaps when I was explaining that there is a diagonal matrix, or that in mathematics one calculates with that, you perhaps felt, well, this is mathematics, but what has that to do with being? Well, in the Bible and in the textbook, we will find such presentation in a diagonal matrix. And as we have just been considering the days of creation, I take out of the days of creation such a diagonal matrix, namely the sixth day of creation. So the subject A would be the sixth day of creation, and the Bible and Mrs. Eddy's interpretation of the sixth day is actually showing only the diagonal values. Therefore, the only values that she shows are in that sixth day going along the seven septones. In the Word, as the Word, we have the sixth day is the day of truth, truth as mind and spirit. Truth as spirit. Truth as mind plus truth as spirit. Then in the Christ, as the Christ, that's the next diagonal, we have truth as soul and truth as principle. Then in Christianity, we have truth as life and truth. Do you know how I follow, huh? You just go through the seven subtones, and then in the last one of signs of signs, she gives just truth as love. So you see that what you have after the slash is the word order, huh? Mind, spirit, then soul, principle, then life, truth, and then love. If you take the matrix that Mr. Dolly has made, then you have within the interpretation of the sixth day, you have actually those terms. You have in there, so having transferred from the diagonal of John Dolly's matrix those synonymous terms into these four boxes, I can tell you now the story about the sixth day, which is always the main body, really, of the days of creation, because it's the day of man, and that's really what we are interested in. Now, look here how wonderful Mrs. Eddy would explain that diagonal. She would explain in word as a word, mind, spirit, soul as what? In mind, she first speaks in the marginal heading about the continuity of thought, that mind conceives all thought. Then she goes to spirit and says, and these thoughts are spiritual realities. That's the next marginal heading. And then goes on to soul and defines those thoughts as what they are, that they are moral courage, diligence, promptness, perseverance, tenderness, might, patience, wisdom. These are all the defining of the qualities of thought. Soul defines. You get that? Beautiful, hmm? Just mind, spirit, soul saying, first there is mind, divine thoughts. These thoughts are spirit, are realities. And a soul, I give them identity, I name them, and I define them. And so you have the word as the word, you have stated your basis. Then she goes to truth, love, soul, spirit, which is the Christ as the Christ, which is the translation point. And so she explains those very neatly and shows that truth is the whole ideal of God. That the whole ideal of God is the truth about all truths, she says. That man is the family name for all ideas, for all truths. And in love, she would say that these truths fashions all things, love, universal, all things, and bathes them in beauty and glory, and so on. That they have the nature, those truths have the nature of love. And as soul, she would show them that they are translated to the point of man, as generic man. And that soul sense comes out so beautifully because she says, by that translation, that nothing is lost. Because man, the only time in the whole textbook she would say that man corresponds to a synonymous term, that man and woman correspond to life, truth, and love. That's the only time she says that in the whole textbook, that man doesn't lose any quality. It corresponds to the synonymous terms. And in spirit brings out that there is no limit to this reflection, spirit. Yeah? Can you see the translation? Then she comes to Christianity as Christianity, which would have to bring out the space, the spiritual space in the matrix, which is mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love. And very often Christianity, one explains it the other way around, and here Mrs. Eddy does it. She speaks about the idea, because it's Christianity, speaks about the idea, and shows really that life, she speaks here with life, truth, and love, and then goes back, that life really causes the idea to multiply, that the idea multiplies. And that the idea as truth has dominion, that they have dominion, that these ideas have dominion, so that these ideas in love are universal, they have dominion over heaven and earth. And then shows the nature of man, and shows it through spirit, soul, mind, namely that she says, and therefore, every idea reflects every other idea. The lesser is a link for the greater. Can you see how they reflect each other? That the higher protects the lower. They reflect each other's quality. As soul, she brings in the identity of man and says, she speaks there about the brotherhood of men, that the sharing of interests of men, that seeking his own in another's good. See, that there is one identity, not one's own identity, the other's identity. Seeking one's own good in the other's good. Assistance in brotherhood is the marginal heading. You have that identity of interest as just showing forth that man is actually just one compound idea, man, and then in mind bringing out that every idea is a full manifestation of life, truth, and love. That the least, mind, the least idea, the least spiritual idea manifests life, truth, and love. The least spiritual idea manifests all that there is in God, namely might and immortality and so on. You see, I indicated that a few hours ago when I went through that order. Very often in Christianity you have the reversed order, the inversed order. And when Mrs. Eddy gives the definition of man in the glossary, and the glossary is always at the point of Christianity, as we have seen now, the definition of God in Christianity has given us the Christianity order. She always defines man through spirit, soul, mind. Namely, through spirit, that she says, man is the compound idea of spirit. Compound, not just the idea of spirit. Because we are in the spatial sense. Here, it's a compound idea of spirit. And in soul, that it is the spiritual image and likeness of God. Again, the full reflection. And then in mind, she says, it is the full representation of mind. Can you see, when she speaks about man in the Christianity sense, then you have this reversed order. And that's how she explains it in her exegesis of that sixth day at this point. And then the last one is science as science, where it is depicted by principle, where no more a creative act goes on. And Mrs. Eddy explains it all through principle and says, the divine principle comprehends and expresses all. Where it says, all is as perfect as the divine principle is perfect. And finally says, it is not an emanation of the infinite self-containment, a paradox which has such deep meaning, that there is constantly an emanation at the end. You see, an emanation, it's a creation, but actually it is a self-containment, an infinite withinness. Yes. So in this way, you have a typical diagonal matrix wherein all the other boxes are nil. And so you can see that actually the Bible knows about it, or the spiritual seers knew about it. Now today we start with investigating a bit closer the structure of the Christian Science textbook and investigate it from the point of view of matrix presentation. Here we have a clear example of building up a matrix in the inductive way. We had some kind of feeling, but feeling is not science, a feeling which one could take as a hypothesis and work on that hypothesis, that the textbook with its 16 chapters, and I always say 16 chapters, so I know there are 18, but as you know, the last two chapters are added to it. She calls that way. The chapter on the glossary is, so to say, an appendix, and the chapter on the fruitage is an appendix, and do not belong to the real structure of the textbook. So every time I speak about the 16 chapters of the textbook, you know that I know that there are two more. But these first 16 chapters constitute the body of the teaching. So we could go out from that hypothesis that these 16 chapters may form a 4x4 matrix. But this had naturally to be proved, and proved inductively. How? By taking the text as it is. Therefore, reading the text of a single chapter, reading it, and with the consciousness of the system of reference, which we have learned over years and years, therefore reading the text not as a text, in the ordinary way of how people have learned to read text, but reading the text with a new structure of consciousness, namely that consciousness which only reads through the grid of the system of reference which we have. Those